For this evening's reading, let's turn to the book of Romans and read the first 11 verses of chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, the first 11 verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. As part of the makeup of us as God's creation, one of the things that we experience as his creation are feelings. As we go through life and we have different experiences, we have responses to events that happen, and so we experience feelings, and sometimes those are very in-depth, and they're very varied as well. Feelings are much different one from the other. Feelings of joy, feelings of sadness, feelings of hope, feelings of a sense of peace and contentment. And based on what our disposition is toward God, those feelings are going to be different. And so this chapter here speaks, or this book really of the book of Romans, speaks of what Jesus Christ has done, and how that Jesus Christ came here upon this earth and was the Messiah, was indeed the Son of God, and that he died upon a cross, shedding his blood, and then not there remaining in the grave, but rising to life again, to newness of life and in resurrection. And so that work is complete. Jesus said, "It is finished," when he gave up the ghost there on the cross. So what Jesus Christ has done is in fullness. There's nothing that can be added to what Jesus Christ did, and there's nothing that can be taken away from what Jesus Christ did. What Jesus Christ did is in fullness and is complete. And our obligation then is to have faith in what Jesus Christ hath done and who Jesus Christ is. And so if we have faith in what Jesus Christ did in his coming to earth, in his shedding of his blood, dying upon a cross, in us having redemption through that and justification, and then believing in the resurrection, that we will be saved, that we will be justified. And so as we have faith in this absolute truth of Jesus Christ, the feelings that we experience through the Holy Ghost will be in depth, and they will be very rich in nature. And so as the Apostle Paul here is coming to this fifth chapter of this epistle that he's writing, and he's building the case of having a faith in God, He's beginning this chapter by saying, therefore, being justified by faith. We are made justified by faith. The work has already been done. Jesus Christ did it all. Again, there's nothing that we can add to what Jesus Christ did. And there's nothing that we can take away from what Jesus Christ did. It is by our faith in him, in what he has done, that we are justified. And so he's building this case as he's writing this epistle, and he's saying we're justified by faith. He's speaking in the previous chapter of Abraham, how Abraham was justified by faith. And we likewise are justified by our faith. And so now that we are justified by our faith, we have peace with God. And so this is one of the feelings that we experience, this emotion of peace because of our faith in God. And it's a feeling and an emotion that, again, is very rich and very in-depth. We have peace with God. There's no condemnation. There's no looking forward to any damnation. We have peace with God. We are justified. Why are we justified? Why are we experiencing this feeling of a great peace? It's because we have faith in what Jesus Christ did and who Jesus Christ is. And so the rest of this verse says, as we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all through Jesus. It's all through who Jesus is and what Jesus did. And so we experience this. And there are other feelings and emotions here listed here in these few verses that we read together. But here is one. One is that of peace. And Jesus Christ said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have this peace with God that whatever comes in our life, we're justified. And we have this peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, by Jesus, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Again, it is through our faith in Jesus Christ and by Jesus Christ that we have access into this grace, a grace that is undeserved, as we read later and we'll touch on in verse number 8, of just the love of God that he has towards us. It's undeserved. And it's his riches that are shown unto us through Jesus Christ. It's this gift of mercy. It's this gift of forgiveness. It's this gift that he knows who we are as his creation. He knows our failings. He knows our desires. He knows how we yearn to walk in fullness before him in the Holy Spirit. And so he grants unto us grace, and we stand in that grace. We don't stand on our own righteousness. We don't stand on our own will. We don't stand on our own tenacity that we are so strong that of ourselves. We don't stand in that. We stand in the grace of Jesus Christ. Because again, he has done it all. He has done it all. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Such a beautiful verses and words that he's putting here together as he's speaking here of this faith that we have in the completed work of Jesus Christ. Rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. And we come to understand God in a clearer and more way as we read the scriptures of the Old Testament of how the law was and how that brought us to Christ, and then we understand of Christ and his purpose of why he came here, and then all that Christ has done for us, and the forgiveness that we have, and this grace that we stand in, we rejoice in this, what the glory of God has done for us. We rejoice, and we have hope in this. We have this earnest expectation that God has done this great thing. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And so, again, as we go through life, we will experience all these things. But we grow, and that's the objective of life as we live it out, that we grow in Him, that we come to understand and know Christ of who He is to greater levels. And so it is that we're glorying in the glory of God, and we glory in this hope that we have. We glory that we're standing in His grace, but we're also glorying in tribulation. And the apostles had done that as well, that as they experienced tribulation, as recorded in the book of Acts, that they gloried. They counted it a wonderful thing, that they were worthy to be counted worthy to suffer shame for His name's sake. And so they suffered tribulation, but that tribulation worked patience, and that patience experience, and then that experience builds to hope. Hope. And the Bible here says that hope makes not ashamed. This is an earnest expectation, a hope that is based on the promises of God. That there's this anticipation with great joy. Anticipation with great joy. That's what hope would be, is this anticipation. And it's based on the promises of God, not a baseless hope, hoping that something may happen in one way or another, fall out in a certain manner, but a hope in the promises of God, a hope in His salvation, a hope that's founded here upon His word. And the opposite of hope would be despair and fear. When we think of the hope that we can have in Christ, in God, for who He is, That hope just gives us, again, that sense of peace and that sense of joy. And these feelings we are experiencing in a rich measure with great depth because of this hope that we can have in who God is. Knowing that when this life is over, we will enter into that eternal realm where there is only eternal bliss. There are no tears, there are no pains, there are no sorrows, no sadness, no more death. And this is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And this is a lively hope. The Bible speaks of it as such, that it's a lively hope. But here the Apostle Paul is writing and saying, and this hope makes not ashamed. Here's another experience, a feeling that we as God's creation experience. But it's a feeling that those who are outside of that faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ would experience of being ashamed, of not having that a closeness or a relationship or the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So there's a difference between these feelings and these emotions that people would experience. People who have faith in God experience the love, the joy, the peace, the contentment, and the hope in Jesus Christ. But those that don't experience fear and having shame and despair. So the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Again, a beautiful expression here, that the Holy Ghost is given unto us, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, that it's everywhere, and that we experience it in a rich measure. That's the hope that we have, a hope that's in Jesus Christ, a hope that anchors itself on this fact that the Holy Spirit is in our hearts. And we are experiencing the love of God as it's shed abroad in our hearts. We're living that. We're experiencing that. And this hope makes us not to be ashamed. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. And so he's speaking here of a man dying for a righteous man or a good man. And I'm not sure what the distinction would be between a righteous man and a good man, but the point is that it's only would be by chance, or it may scarcely happen, maybe not even at all. But the point here is, in verse number 8, in contrast to that, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here the Bible is saying that a person wouldn't necessarily die for a good person, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were his enemies, he sent his son to die for us. That's this love that we are experiencing, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He died for those that nailed the nails into his hands. He died for those that condemned him to death. He died for Pontius Pilate. He died for those Roman soldiers. He died for those chief priests. He died for those that mocked him and spat upon him and plaited a crown of thorns upon his head. He died for them. They were sinners. They were his enemies, and yet he died for them. This is the love of God. And when we experience that, when we come to this knowledge and to the fullness of this knowledge that God loved us and he commended his love to us in such a rich measure that we experience it, we then experience these feelings of peace, of joy, and of a hope in Jesus Christ. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We were reconciled by his death, and now we're being saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We joy in him. And so here he's bringing out another emotion, another feeling that we have as the creation of God, with his Holy Spirit abiding within us. He's saying we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all in the Lord. It's all through Jesus Christ that we experience these blessings of life that God intended for us to have, these blessings of love, joy, peace, and hope within our hearts. God intended that for his creation. And yet now he's giving it to us when the Holy Spirit abides in us. We can only have hope in what God has promised. God has said that Jesus Christ, actually, before he resurrected, said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We have hope in that because that's a promise of God. Jesus said that. Jesus brought forth the words of God. And so Jesus said this, that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We have faith in that. We have faith in that. And now we are justified. And we have hope in that. Because that if we believe in him and we are baptized, we will be saved because of Jesus' finished work on the cross, because of what Jesus Christ has done. Again, we can't add or take away from what Jesus Christ has done. It's just a matter of, do we believe in that or do we not believe in that? And when we believe in that and are baptized, we will be saved. We have that hope. Jesus said that, I am going away, and I'm going to prepare mansions for you, and I'm going to come again, and I'm going to take you to where I am, that you might be with me. That's a promise of God. That's a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have hope in that. We rejoice in that. That gives us peace. We are experiencing these feelings through the Holy Ghost that's abiding in our hearts through the love of God. That's a promise of God. And we have hope in that. It's not a baseless hope. It's a hope that we can anchor our lives in because of the promises of God. Another promise of God that we can have faith in and base our hope in is that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. This is a hope that we can have that's alive, and it's in Jesus Christ for what he has done. These are his promises, and we have hope in that. We need to go through our lives reflecting often on this hope and this confidence that we have in the promises of God. In Hebrews, we read, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." We have to have patience. Again, as we read there earlier in the chapter about having patience, and that patience works experience, and that experience works hope. That as we go through life, as we have this faith in Jesus Christ, that we would not cast away that confidence, because that has a great recompense of reward. That once we have done the will of God, this faith is always accompanied by works of love, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We can go through this life and we can think of, well, we can have a hope in certain things. We can have a hope in a successful career or a hope in some success of life. But usually, or always in all cases, at some point there's going to be some disappointment and there's going to be a letdown. There's nothing of this life that we can anchor our hope in. The Bible says that if in this life only we have hope in Jesus Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Our hope is not to be in this life. Our hope is to be in what Jesus Christ has promised of salvation. That's the hope that the believer has. It's in that which is eternal, not that which is temporal. And after we have hope and faith in that, we would receive the promise. Thanks be to God for that, for his faithfulness in that. We have faith in what Jesus Christ has done through the resurrection. And the Bible's very clear on this. That, again, this is the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is no group of individuals, there is no entity that can take away or add to what Jesus Christ has done. It's our faith in what Jesus Christ has done that gives us hope and that justifies us before God. And so, Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, "This is the will of him that sent me," this is the will of God, "that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day." This is a promise of Jesus Christ. "I will raise him up the last day, and he will have everlasting life." Who gets everlasting life? Who gets raised up the last day? He that believeth on the Son. He that believeth in Jesus Christ. He that believeth that what Jesus Christ has done, and specifically even his resurrection, that they would be saved. Jesus told Martha, said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And so we have to ask ourselves, do we believe this? That Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And that as we believe in him, we shall live. This is the hope that we have. That we will live, and that we will live eternally. I really appreciate some verses that the Apostle Peter had written. And he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy," God's abundant mercy, "hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." This is what God did for us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He brought us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, and is reserved in heaven for you. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have a lively hope because we believe in it, because we believe in what Jesus Christ hath done. And we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're kept by the power of God. Again, it's not so much what we can do. Jesus Christ did it all. And as we have faith in him, the power of God keeps us. We rest in his grace. We stand in his grace. That's where we stand. We stand in his grace. We don't stand on our own. We don't stand by our own might or our own righteousness or our own goodness. We stand in grace. And when we stand in grace, when we stand in this faith, the power of God works in our hearts and in our lives. In Ephesians, we read that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. God gives us this hope. This hope is given unto us by God. And so we offer unto him our prayers and our supplications that he would give unto us this hope, that he would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. For us to know him, that comes from God. And for us to know him, then we have to read his word. And we have to stand in him and have that faith in him. And then the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. And we will know what is the hope of his calling. We will know that depth. We will experience that depth. Through the Holy Spirit that's shed abroad in our hearts, we will experience, through his love, these feelings of, in great depth, these feelings of peace, these feelings of great joy, these feelings of hope in him that no man can take away. In Colossians, we read, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, if we do that, we will be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This faith that we have, this faith that justifies us before God, we need to be grounded and settled in it and be not moved away from that hope of the gospel. It all has to be in him. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So again, the Holy Spirit abiding within us. This is Christ in us. This is the hope of glory. This is the mystery among the Gentiles of Jesus Christ dwelling in us. He's the hope of glory. The hope of glory. A hope that takes and transcends above and beyond anything else in this life that we can experience. This is this feeling of this hope that we have that someday, maybe not far away, that Jesus Christ is going to come in power and in great glory with a multitude of angels in the clouds. This is the hope that we have. And he's going to redeem us. He's going to take us. And we are going to shed the ailments and the difficulties and everything that we have experienced in this life. And we will be gone and be together with the Lord forever. This is the hope that we have. This is the glory of the believer. These are the experiences and the feelings that God wants us to experience. as he has imparted and embedded the Holy Spirit into us as we believe in him, and then we are justified. We no longer have any condemnation. We are his. We rejoice. We rejoice in him, as it says here further on, rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation. This is the way we ought to live our lives as believers, that as we have this faith in him and we are justified by the faith that we have in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that we would rejoice in this hope. That's the lifestyle that we should have, and these feelings that we should be experiencing over and over daily, that we would rejoice in this hope and that we would be patient in tribulation. Last two verses I want to read, found in Romans chapter 8. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We, in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this hope, and we with patience wait for what the Lord has for us. We wait for him, that knowing that this short life that is so short in comparison to eternity, it'll soon be over. And then eternity begins. And then we will be in the presence of the Lord forever. We will behold the Lamb of God. We will see God on the throne. We will see the streets of gold. We will see those who have gone on before. We will be forever in his presence, forever and forever, glorifying him for who he is. May we rejoice in this lively hope that we have in this inheritance that's incorruptible. Amen.
Based on the message this evening, our peace, our grace, our hope, all hinges on our faith. And so we need to have faith in the living God. We have to have faith in Jesus Christ. But we also are reminded in Romans, where the Apostle Paul writes to us about, even though we have the faith to remove mountains, without love, we are nothing. So he says here in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the basic faith that we have must come from our love that we have for our Lord and our Savior and our God and for one another. So may God bless his words upon our hearts as we fellowship one with another, love one another, and most of all, love our God. Amen.